Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy today, perhaps next week from Tennessee. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. And the supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. The Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome back, everyone. Been gone for 2 weeks. It seems like 2 years. I had difficulty even just logging on. I forgot my passcodes. I forgot what to do. So if things don't go perfectly today, or even as bad as they usually go, I'm sorry. But pray for me, please. But everything is well here. And I'm so happy that that Mother's going to be joining us today, because she's in the midst of packing. She leaves literally, you know, I think less than 3 days for Tennessee for that new location in Marysville. You can't make this stuff up. So I think I saw Sister Gemma's PC. There it is. Okay. So I'm going to ask, excuse me, Mother and the sisters to mute themselves so that I may bring them into full picture.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Hello, Mother. Hello, Sister Magdalena.
How are you?
I'm doing well, Mother. Welcome back. And I can only imagine what it's like in the monastery right now, with the suitcases and the things you need to bring and the things you don't need to bring, and those in the pile that you're not sure if you do need or don't need, but everything will work out through the grace of God.
Well, we've had a lot of guests. We just said, so us, we're a little bit late. We had two people eating with us for supper, guests, and coming to say goodbye, and some people at the door coming to say goodbye, and every day it's been that way. So we've been very busy. And then we did have a Divine Will retreat with Daniel Shields and Father Humphrey. Father Humphrey lives in London, and Daniel lives in Derry, I think, Derry. Ireland. But he was excellent. Daniel's one of the best teachers I've ever heard in Divine Will. He's very, very, very profound. You know, he's been reading intensely. He used to read 3 hours a day since 2005, and he's had these experiences to understand what happens when you do an act and round the Divine Will. And the way he explains what God has revealed to him from the writings, everything he talks about is in the writings.
So, well, please share that information with me.
I can send you some of his Zoom.
Yeah,
he's sending me all of his Zoom.
Once I have his name, I can just,
he gives a lot of retreats and stuff. So his Zoom, I can send you some of his Zoom programs. But his name is Daniel Shields, S-H-I-E-L-S, Daniel Shields. So you could always look him up, you know, and see if he's got, he's good friends with Tony Hickey. They kind of teach sort of similarly, you know. Anyway,
I can read my writing.
Here for five or 6 days. So
Daniel Shields. Mm-hmm. Well, great, Mother. Well, again, everything is coming to fruition. You know, it's if you build it, they will come. If we know the fruit of the tree. We don't know if the tree is going to blossom, but of course, the order's been blossoming ever since day one. And of course, like all other things, you know, the other side is working vehemently to try to just, you know, destroy everything, but it's always two steps forward, one step back. And we're just so happy to be together today with you. And I love that opening, that supplication where Louisa says, you know, you're going to confide something yet more surprising. These secrets that we talk about, that Our Lady talks about, Our Lord talks about, that are being divulged. And, you know, when we think about a secret in our modern day vernacular, we always think, well, not always, but it usually has a negative connotation. Oh, it's a secret. You know, don't tell her you did tell. But Our Lady explains and defines a secret in the language of heaven that we're so eager to learn. And she states this also in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one. We've mentioned this again, but for those joining us for the first time, I know we've got a new group joining us from Japan. So welcome. Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one, our Blessed Lady explains and defines a secret. And she says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious, but it's actually a humble compliment. Our Lord and Our Lady would not be divulging these secrets unless they felt, quote, we were capable of understanding. So kudos to our Lord and our Lady, because they've disposed us to this. It's all a gift. It's all gratuitous. And it's a mystical gift. And we can talk about that later. Mother, it's good to have you back.
It's the most beautiful gift. You know, we have to be so grateful to God for this gift, because, you know, it's remarkable how much Luis had to suffer for our Lord to give her these writings, that we can have these writings. And when he talks to Luisa in these writings, you got to put yourself in her place. He's talking to you. He didn't give these writings just to Luisa. He gave these writings to the whole world. And so he's talking specifically to each person who's reading at the moment. So when you're reading it, don't say, well, he's just telling this to Luisa. No, he's telling this to you. You know, so make sure you make it very personal, because he loves it so much. He loves you as if you're the only person who exists. And in heaven, we're going to have like our own God, our own Jesus, personally. You know, he's going to be so individual with each person. And every person is so unique.
That's so true. And, you know, Mother, before you start, I mean, I'm chuckling here. I wish Sister Francesca was there, because when he's talking to you, yo, you're talking to me. The New York slang comes out. Whoa, you're talking to me? Forget it. Yeah, just incredible. But he is talking to us. And I think you've coined a great phrase. He's speaking to us through Luisa. And I think that's a perfect way to examine it.
Francesca won't be here because her sister's visiting her right now. So they're.
So anyway, oh, well, good for her. Good for her.
Tuesday.
Okay.
Oh, so yes. I was just reading from one of Luisa's letters here. It says, "You must know that not even humility exists in the divine will, but pure nothingness, which knows clearly that anything good which can be done is the all operating in the nothing. So the poor nothing is in the act of being continuously born. It is the all that grows and forms its life in the nothing. O power of the divine will, as soon as the soul decides to want and wants to live in it, the most holy Trinity takes its prime operating place in her. And since this is an act of divine will, all want their place of honor in that act. The Queen of Heaven, the angels, the saints, and all created things." And Daniel Shields was explaining to us that, you know, instead of using words when he used to use words when he do acts and realms in the Bible, but now it's just a desire and a thought that you just you desire it, you think it, it happens. And what happens when you do an act around in the divine will, the smallest act around in the divine will, it's like a ripple, a ripple approach. It just keeps going like waves, continually going. It never stops. It's eternal, you know, and it goes around the world, touching every soul throughout the globe, everywhere, you know, if they're open to the grace. And you can pray for it. You know, today I was just praying for all, when I went to communion, I asked the blood of Jesus, a drop of the blood of Jesus, to fall on every person all over the world, especially those people in Israel and all over there that are suffering, that a drop of his precious blood in divine will would flood upon each one of these souls, you know, and that's, you can do anything. It's just your desire makes it happen. God does that. So you can change the world by living in the divine will. But he just says, now he's gotten to the point because he studied it so much. He said the first time he read it all in six months. All 36 volumes. But now it takes him years, a few years to go through them one time, because he wanted to find out what it's all about at first, but now he just really ponders it and lets it soak in his heart and soul. And he says, the Lord has revealed to him how immense, how magnificent. It's just one act and round in my will, because it's an act of God. It's not you doing it. You desire it, he does it for you. And so it's eternal. It's eternal. It glorifies the Father eternally, never stopping, you know? And so, you know, Luisa, when she dies, she's all these lights. Our Lord revealed to her those were all the acts and rounds she did in divine will. So those people who live in his divine will have the highest places in heaven.
Mother, it's all actually, if you think about it, it's actually easy reading it. It's the meditation. And I think that's when Jesus explains when he talks about his rest and our rest. He gives the truth and then he rests. He puts a piece of food in our mouth, and then he waits for us to chew it and to swallow it, to digest it before he gives us more knowledge. So again, it's a very unique pattern, because you would think God would just keep rushing all these truths, because he wants this for us more than we want it for ourselves. But it's just so beautiful to hear it articulated like that. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's just this one truth in the divine will, he says, does immense good to the whole, to you and to the whole world. Just one truth that you learn, because every truth that you learn makes every one of your acts and your grounds in divine will much more powerful, because of the faith and the truth, the knowledge that you have of what it does, what happens when you do it. He says, and since this is an act of divine will, all want this place of honor. So with one single act of divine will, we enclose everything. We embrace everything. And we give everything to God, even all that the eternal word did upon earth. The goods which descend for the benefit of all is incalculable. So when you do an act in divine will, you're enclosing everything, all the acts, all the rounds that our Lord did, our Lady did. You're putting your act in that. So it's like you're in God, totally in God, and everything God did, all the acts and rounds done by other people are there in God, and you're putting yours in there. So you're participating and taking all what they did as your own. So it's magnified, it's multiplied, you know, and this comes from the writings, you know. It was just saying it's here. It's, we enclose everything. One single act of divine will, we enclose everything. We embrace everything. That means everything that God did. All the other acts and rounds Our Lady did, St. Louisa did, and we give everything to God, even all that the eternal word did upon earth. So when we do one act, we're taking all that Jesus did upon earth in that one act. It's included in that, and you're giving it all back to him. The goods which descend for the benefit of all are incalculable. We can't imagine the good that happens with just one little act and round in divine will. We have to believe that. We have to know that. And the more you study the volumes, the more you see it written in so many different places and in so many different ways. In volume one, it says, so from the beginning, the divine master began to strip my heart of all creatures. This is Louisa speaking. And through an interior voice, he would tell me, I am all that is beautiful and that deserves to be loved. See, if you do not remove this little world that surrounds you, that is thoughts of creatures, imagination, I cannot enter freely into your heart. This murmuring in your mind is a hindrance to letting you hear my voice more clearly, to pour in my graces, to truly enamoring you of me. Promise me that you will be all mine, and I myself will put my hand in the work. You are right that you can do nothing. Do not fear. I will do everything. Give me your will. This is enough for me. So he wants us to be detached from all creatures. You know, you can't, virginity, you know, so Saint Mary Magdalene is in the choir of virgins, you know. Virginity is in the heart and soul. You can be virgin in body, but be attached to many things, and you're not a virgin in heart and soul. There are people that are not virgins in body, but they're virgins in heart and soul, because they're totally detached from the world, from people, from everything. And that more we live in the divine will, I think, the more detached we get from things, from people. We love everyone. You love people more. You love them immensely. You love them the way he loves them, because he's loving them in you. You're seeing them through his eyes the more you live in divine will. So the more you experience that, the more you do that, the more you experience and see your nothingness. And you're happy when you know your nothingness. The more, you know, nothingness is beyond humility. St. Francis said, humility is perfect joy. Well, this is even more joyful than humility, because it's beyond that. Nothingness is beyond littleness, because if you're little, you're still something. If you're nothing, you can be totally dependent on God. We're like little babies. He's got to do everything for us, but he wants us to want him to do everything for us, in us, and through us. So he tells Louisa to stop complaining. She was murmuring in her mind about things she was struggling with. He says, don't murmur. Accept the present moment, whatever's happening. He says, I will see if you do not remove this little world that surrounds you, that is thoughts of creatures, imagination, I cannot enter freely into your heart. And you're very happy when he enters freely in your heart. So you want to grow in happiness and joy? allow the Lord to detach you from all these things. He's got his ways of doing it for us. That's what he's doing in the world right now, detaching everyone from everything. The war, everything that's happening, people can be totally detached. Poor like Jesus was in Nazareth. And that's good. That's how we're going to grow in holiness. The body is not going to live forever. It's short life. You can live 100 years. It's still short compared to an eternity. And the soul will last forever. Got one test here to live it right so that you have a glorious eternity. So let's not flub up. Let's all decide we're going to meet each other in heaven one day, okay? If I don't meet you on earth, I want to meet you in heaven. I'm planning on going there. I hope that you're planning on going there too. Ralph Martin says, don't reach for purgatory. If you miss, you get hell. Reach for heaven. If you miss, you're going to get purgatory. But you know, I think if you live totally in divine will, you're going to get to heaven.
Yeah, that's how Father, you know, you've mentioned before in the past, Father Donald Calloway, that's how he turned his life around. His mother said on her deathbed, "I'm going to heaven, and I hope I can't bear to not have you with me." And he that sort of sunk in. See, it doesn't take much. You know, the disposition, it can change. God can allow us to do an about face. I mean, he gives us a perfect example. What did he do to Paul, right? Immediately, yeah. And knock him off the horse. You know, when you say also about the nothingness, that reminds me of that quote, "I found my everything in that nothingness." It sounds like a paradox, but it's so true. Once we clear all this smog out of our way, this fog, we can see clearly. And God's doing it every day.
God doesn't want us to worry about what's happening in the world. We have to want what's happening because we want the world and the world, the church, to be purified so that we can have a better world, a better church. You know, our Lord has to allow us to be crucified in every day so that we can rise again to a greater world. If things don't change, only God's going to change the corruption in the world right now. It's lost totally with one sex marriage, all these crazy things that are going on, abortions. You know, God's going to stop it all through what's going to happen in the world. And we have to just pray, and we should be willing to even die for a better world to come, you know, not be afraid of anything. If you die, you're going to heaven and be with him. If you stay here, he's going to take care of you. So, you know, there's nothing to worry about. You just pray for the world, pray for more souls to be saved, because if the world keeps going the way it's gone right now without it informed, more souls will be lost. And so God is going to clean house. And it'll be a better world, and more souls will be saved because of that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hello, Sister Magnolia.
It's really amazing, Mother. Hi, Peter.
Oh, we've got some latency on your side. I'm looking at your internet, but it's better now. So I'll just try to be quiet.
Okay. Yeah. You were cutting out a little bit earlier. I guess it was
it's definitely your side. I'm looking at mine, I'm looking at yours, and we're just going to pray for good connectivity.
Yeah. Can you hear me better now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I would like to start with what Mother mentioned about Daniel Shield. We were here and I really learned a lot from him. And Mother mentioned about, you know, the waves, it's kind of like wave of an ocean. And I think when you listen to his talk, and even when you read, we all, because it's very personal, it's very personal that it touches each soul differently. With the same, you know, maybe the same understanding, knowledge, but it touches differently because of our different experiences in life. And so, for example, maybe someone who loves the sea, or somebody that works on the sea, or fishermen or seamen, they would probably connect better with connection with the sea and ocean. I like the ocean and sea, but I also like light, you know, and in this lesson, it seems like, you know, when a person lives in a divine will, we participate in God, and that includes all of his gifts, so that he is the sun, the divine will is the sun, and we are these stars, these little lights, or he is the big fire, and we're this little fire. And to live in the divine will is like fusion of light, and we participate it in his work. You know, you mentioned, Mother mentioned about nothingness. You know, we are nothing on our own. We can't really do anything on our own. But when we fuse ourselves in God, then we can do everything. It's just like a drop of water by itself cannot do anything. But when you fuse, when you drop the drop of water into the ocean and become part of the ocean, then everything can happen in the big ocean. It can form waves. It can form big waves. It can contain all living beings. The same thing with light. When you have a little light, it can only light a room or maybe a small space. But when you connect yourself to the sun, it cannot just enlighten Earth, but the whole universe. And God is greater than the sun. It's just an example he gave us because that's all we can comprehend. But God is greater than the sun. Imagine that. And so even everything, the created thing, say, for example, science knows about atom, energy, light. Think about that. The chair you're sitting on, the bed you're lying down, that's God's love for you. And if you really think about that, the chair may be brown, solid, but if you look at it in a magnifying microscopic, what I have, I don't know what's the machine to look into this, the atomic part, you can see it's not hard. It's movement, it's energy, and it's God allowing it to that, you see? And so I'm just telling this from my experience being, you know, maybe went to school and learned this from science. Everything is light, but we don't see that as a light because we are in a physical reality. But if we are in the spiritual reality, everything is God's love. The flowers, the sky, the sun, everything that is created by God for us. It is for us. And we are also created with light, love. We are created in love. So if we can only imagine ourselves and everything else around us with the eyes of God, and that's only possible by living in the divine will through grace, living in grace, then we can see how beautiful it is. Nobody will be murmuring. Nobody will be complaining. Nobody will be dissatisfied. We are all happy because we can see very clearly God's love for us. That's why sin is very bad, because it darkens. You know, see, the absence of light is dark. Darkness has no essence. It doesn't have its own matter, but it is the absence of light. Coldness doesn't have its essence. It's the absence of heat. It's the absence of light. So the sun, the light, the heat is all connected. The light cannot be alone by itself without the source, the sun, nor the heat. It all comes, but it all comes from the eternal Father. So I would like to share a passage with you, talk about much so in love with us that he shares everything he has for us, everything that he has, because we are the royal priesthood. Jesus is the priest. We are the ministerial priesthood that's given by Jesus, but we are all participating in that royal priesthood. And in this priesthood that we are able to participate with a proper understanding, with a proper disposition, starts from our desire to know, starts from our desire to want to live, starts from our desire to want to receive the gift. And then for our desire to really want to know what God is all about, what, who he is, and to have this intimate relationship with him. And that starts from study, reading the Bible, the catechism of the church, and the volumes. So I'm sharing with you volume five, June 15, 19. 03. How the creature can preserve the creative, redemptive, and sanctifying works of God within herself. So we all know the three fiats, the creative fiat, the redemptive, and the sanctifying. And we can all participate in all of these acts of God within ourselves by now knowing it. Okay, so here it is. Louisa says, as I was in my usual state, I don't know how I saw my adorable Jesus inside my eye. I was surprised. And he told me, my daughter, one who makes use of her senses to offend me deforms my image within herself. Therefore, sin gives death to the soul, not because she really dies, but because it gives death to everything which is divine. I'll stop here. For example, she used the eyes. She saw Jesus within her eyes. When we use our sense of sight through the eyes, looking at things that are offending God, then that separates us from his divine sight. So then that enables us to darken our vision so we can no longer see what it is that God intended us to see, but we see darkness. Okay, so that's just an example. And it happens to all of our senses. Again, it goes back to our identity, which is coming from God, light. We are also little light. If then uses her senses to glorify me, I can say, you are my eye, my hearing, my mouth, my hands, and my feet. See how it is important to do divine acts and rounds with our physical body? See how it is important? Because it is God doing it in us. And I continue here. By this, she preserves my creative within herself. And if to her glorifying me, she adds suffering, satisfying, and repairing for others, she preserves within herself my redemptive work. So we are co-creators with God. We're not the creator, but we co-create with God. We cannot create without the material God makes. For example, we're cooking, we're building, we're doing anything. We take materials from God's creation, but he allows us to freely design, to freely make, you know, artistic work, because this is part of the Father's gift to us. And then he said, but if we do this with voluntary suffering, out of love of God and love of our brothers and sisters, we are participating in his redemptive works. See? And I continue here. And as she perfects these works of mine within herself, okay, it talks about perfection here, perfects these works of mine within herself, my sanctifying work rises again, sanctifying everything and preserving it within her soul. So who perfects it in us? It is Jesus Christ, who became one of us. So when we fuse in Jesus Christ, in his humanity, he gives us his divinity, and that his divinity sanctifies all of our acts, all of our works. And then because of that, we now are able to participate in his sanctifying works. You see? So it's very important to really live in the divine will, because this is the only way we can participate in God's creative work, redemptive work, and sanctifying work. And I continue here. In fact, for everything I have done in creative, redemptive, and sanctifying works, I have transfused in the soul, a participation in my very operating. However, everything is in whether the soul corresponds to my work. So it's very important that we live in grace. We avail of the sacraments, especially the Holy Mass. And when we attend Holy Mass, we need to really exercise our royalty, our royal priesthood. We are not ministerial priesthood. We are not ordained priests, not everybody, not all of us. The ministerial priests have special power, special gift. But for the rest of us, Christians, baptized Christians, we are called to participate in our royal priesthood by infusing our total self to the Mass, offering ourselves to the Mass in our hearing, in our speaking, in our singing, in our movement, standing, kneeling, everything. And you see, after gaining a little deeper understanding from the retreat with Daniel, I have learned how much God loves me and he dwells in me. And I'd like to imagine myself, because you see, imagination is part of the gift. It's intellect, through the intellect and through our emotions. All of these are gifts. And I would like to share with you my experience, because this is very personal. And I think many of you probably could kind of understand or express kind of like a light within our heart, in our chest, like the sun. Imagine yourself with the sun in your heart. And that sun is God, and how this emanates to everything. And when I go to Mass, I have this sun, the priest has the sun, everything is, you know, and you just one big ball of fire, and it penetrates the whole world. Mother mentioned earlier about how it goes. There's no boundaries. When we live in the divine will, we no longer have boundaries. There is no past, present, and future. It's just like the Holy Eucharist, the sacrifice that Jesus did in Calvary in our timeline 2,000 years ago. That's all removed because God is outside of time. So the Eucharistic celebration that Jesus himself did becomes present to us. And we believe in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity happens now at the very moment, exactly as it happened 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing with us. When we live in the divine will, we are living host. And the suffering, the sacrifice that was offered by Jesus is offered again and again and again in us, not in a repeated way to where it is an imitation or it is a symbol. No, we are more powerful than the bread and wine who becomes body and blood of Christ, because they don't have the bread and wine, cannot talk back, cannot love back, cannot have sacrifice back. But we can. We can offer through our human will to willingly sacrifice ourselves, white martyrdom. We may not be all called to red martyrdom, but this is the only way to really satisfy God from his desire, from his longing, from his thirst of love from us.
You're right. You know, when you say royal priesthood, that's also synonymous with the common priesthood, which Vatican II, you know, revitalized, I believe. And the ministerial priesthood, again, their job is to get us back, to help get us back through the church. So in essence, they work for us, but we actually have to cooperate with them to let them do their job. You also mentioned about imagination. That's so important. And Louisa touches on it, I think, a bit. I know Father Nuzzi does. There's active and passive imagination. And when we begin this journey, we must begin with our active participation. We have to take the first step forward. And Louisa did. I think he demonstrates in the her first writing, the Christmas Novena. She began with her own imagination, active. But then we have to realize and have the the humility to say, okay, we cannot take this to the finish line. So where our active participation ends or is maxed out, so to speak, we have to then lay that down and now have a passive imagination, allowing God to continue the journey, because we can't do it ourselves. That's beautiful. I like that very, very much.
Yeah, everything is given to us by grace. Nothing can be done on our own. Mm-hmm. And it's all in grace, but we desire. It starts from desire.
Right.
And then we put into practice what God has given us, you know, the surrender. Right. It's just to surrender to whatever God gives us. And so that's also an act of humility, because we are no longer active in a sense that we're doing it on our own, you know, but we're not passive either to where we're not doing anything, you know, but it's participating, cooperating from the grace that he has already given us. And also imagination, that's part of the senses, right? I mentioned earlier about the hearing and all this listening. Everything about us is God. So when we use our imagination, when you use it for glorifying God, that also is, you know, everything is really part of it. You know, what was that? Will, memory, and intellect. This is, you know, why we created in this image and likeness with memory, intellect, and will. And we have to exercise this gift. Otherwise, you know, it would be useless.
Right. The components of our soul. Amen. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
Hello, yes. Sister. But I don't know what sister.
Oh, hello.
Sister Jacinta, hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah. So as far as I remember, Daniel Shields also talked about the imagination. But the problem is nowadays, a lot of people use their imagination for the wrong for the wrong reasons, as Daniel Shields said. Like, some people think sinful thoughts with their imagination, or just things like that, or like angry thoughts with their imagination. So it's really so important to like keep your imagination pure for Jesus, because not only our imaginations, but everything we have should be directed towards helping us get closer to Jesus and for us to give God all the glory and honor he deserves. Like, God gives us gifts not for like selfish reasons, but to give him all the glory and honor he deserves.
That's so true. And you know, sister, this imagination, this good imagination that Jesus talks about also, and that we're talking about now, if anyone wants to learn more about it, it's St. John of the Cross. I forget what stanza it's in that. It's also in the documents of Vatican II. I know the books are large, but it's there. It talks about our active passive imagination.
Yeah, so Jesus wants us to live in the divine will, to remember that he's doing everything in us, also because he wants us to be happy to our fullest potential. Like I just have a feeling that when a lot of people think about doing God's will, they see it as like, oh, like I have to do it, like not doing it out of love for Jesus. But if you look at it like instead of a slave or master, or just a servant or master relationship, if you see it like a son and a daughter relationship to God the Father, then that really makes a difference. Then you'll really be doing what God wants, and you'll be realize the Trinity dwelling in you and your actions, and that Jesus is doing everything in you, and you'll be doing everything out of love for Jesus. Because at the end of our lives, it's really God will see how much love we had in the things we did. And yeah, just to always remember that Jesus is in us. And I remember Daniel I'm doing acts. So just like remembering that Jesus is doing everything in you, even if you don't say the words, like, Jesus, come do this in me, even just the desire, then Jesus, just having the desire of Jesus doing something in you, even the most insignificant thing, Jesus really does it in you. And then that's a divine act. And as Daniel was explaining the mystical side of it, it was really amazing.
Right. But also, so like, you know, what Mother reminds us of also, and I think in the beginning, we must be cognizant, we must verbalize it only so that we can, so it can become second nature. And then, of course, our nature. But I think, yeah, at the end there, then everything is going to be done for the love of God and His most holy divine will, asking for that. But I think we have to begin the process there. At least I do. I still forget when I get in the car, come to my will, drive my driving. Thank God I have my wife is reminding me to pray. But I think the more we do that, the more it becomes our own vehicle in which to do it. It's a good point.
Yeah, so I like to read a passage from volume 27. Where Jesus tells us how only the divine will makes man happy as God and man yield to each other. And it's from October 2nd, 1929. But while my littleness was dissolving in the divine fiat, my beloved Jesus stirred within me, held me very close to his divine heart, and said to me, my daughter, only my divine will can make man happy. With its light, it either overwhelms or puts to flight all evils. And with this divine power, it says, I am eternal happiness. Flee all you evils. I want to be free, because before my happiness, all evils die. And the soul who lives completely in my divine will, its love is so great as to transform the earth's actions, and an exchange of life takes place between her and God, an exchange of actions, steps, and heartbeats. God remains bound to the soul and the soul to God. They become inseparable beings, and in this exchange of action and of life, a game is contrived between the creator and the creature. Each one lets himself be caught by the other. So just pausing here, it's just reading this reminds me of doing acts and rounds in the divine will. It's really meant to strengthen our relationship with Jesus and to get closer to him. Because the more we live in the divine will, the more we get closer to God, and the more constant we become like Jesus. So continuing with this passage, and in this game of letting himself be tagged, they play in a divine way, and they delight each other and make merry. And God and the creature sing glory and feel victorious, because there are no losers, and each one has defeated the other. Indeed, in my divine will, no one loses. Losses do not exist in it. Only of the soul who lives in my will can I say that she is my delight in creation, and I feel triumphant in lowering myself to let myself be conquered by that creature, because I know for sure that she will not resist letting herself be conquered by me. And it's so beautiful reading this, because you're just seeing how God wants to kind of like play, like, just play with us, like playing like tag with us in a divine way. And it reminds me of like That Which Awaits Us in that short book, where Tenderly Love tells the doctor how the one of the most amazing things is heaven is that God loves playing with the blessed. But the beautiful thing about the divine will is we don't have to wait until we're in heaven for God to play with us. God can play with us now in the divine.
I love the fact that he uses the, you know, even the game of tag to make us understand. And yeah, I'm so far behind here also. I don't want to let this escape, because it's really important. What Sister Magdalena was saying about, you know, the correlation between the body and the soul. For anyone who wants to read more about that, volume 36, May 17, 1938. It's about three paragraphs. I'm not going to read it. Don't get nervous. But I like to read a little bit, though. It says, quote, now an organ without a player is like a dead body. It's not fun. Neither does it attract anyone. On the other hand, one who is good at music cannot exercise his art as a musician if he doesn't have an instrument to play. Therefore, a living someone who speaks and moves is needed to create beautiful music. But the instrument is necessary too, with its keys, notes, and so on. Both of them are necessary. Here's the phrase that's really important. Quote, such are the soul and the body. There's such harmony, order, and union that one cannot do without the other. So be attentive. I watch your steps, your words, the movements of your pupils, your tiniest acts in order for my will to have its life, its place, end quote. Beautiful. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I would like to read something on volume 31st, on December 16, 1932. And it's about Luisa is wondering what's the good of what she's doing. She it seems like she's not doing anything good, and so she's complaining and wondering to Jesus, and Jesus replied to her, "My daughter, courage, my will is consuming you in its light in order to form its divine copy in you." And then what great thing is that good? And yet everything in its operating good is in, and yet everything is in operating good. It is the substance of sanctity and sun, and the sun that shines by means of its holy words, works and steps in the midst of creatures. Good produced the immortal glory, and in each on earth and in heaven. Who can ever remove the glory of the of a good that one has done? No one, neither God nor the creature. And then later it says, so much so that many times creatures are forgotten, but the good done remains as life in their midst and is not easily forgotten. And it's so true. I mean, doing acts in the divine will, living in the divine will, or trying to live in the divine will, it seems like we are not doing anything. But according to what Jesus is saying, we are doing a lot. It's not like we are not doing anything. It's just that we have to believe it. We have to believe that what we are doing is really a great job. Most of people, I heard someone saying, I always did good in my life. I always be polite and help people and try to do good stuff. But then people, they just take advantage of you because they think you are stupid. So it's like, doesn't matter, this person, it's like a bit simple, so I can just take advantage of it. And then sometimes people change and they say, okay, now I'm going to be bad too, I'm going to be like them, so they don't think I'm that stupid. But this is, I mean, I know some people, they can get very hurt, but it's very bad, because I mean, good is always the best thing, and it's always the winning thing. So we have to remember that even though sometimes doing good, it seems like it doesn't get you anywhere, but it does, it really does. So we have to concentrate on doing always good, and especially doing acts around in the divine will, because that's good things to do. And and see all also the benefits of all the people that get from all the good that we do, because when we do something good, then it that good stays for the rest of our life. It doesn't finish there, but it's there continuously, and nobody can cancel it, not even God. It stay there. In Italy, in fact, we say do good and forget. So in other words, just do your things and don't think, do good and don't think about the rest. And also, I think it's important to, I don't remember which passage, but Jesus told Luisa once to try to live in the world like as you are, you and Jesus alone. And then if we try to live in that way, then it doesn't matter what the other people do to us, or whatever think of us, or how they act to us. Because if we really concentrate on living on this earth, thinking that we are only the two of us living in this world, then everything will change, the way of our life and the way of our thinking also change, and everything. And then later in the same volume, Jesus was telling Luisa the importance of the I love you that Jesus really wants from all of us, and how he desires this little I love you that he gave us every moment of our life, but at the same time, he also wants this I love you. I just read something because it's a long passage. Let me see. My little daughter of my volition, you must know that so much is the yearnings, the delirium that I want to love and be loved by creatures. And then later, let me see if I found. So every I love you of yours is an additional triumph that you make for Jesus. And since you seek to cover heaven and earth, animate and inanimate things with your I love you, I look at everything dusted by the beauty of the love and the creature, and remaining in rapture, I say with all the emphasis of my love, yes, how content I am. Already I am loved. And while I triumph in her love, she triumphs in my love. So it's very important to do acts and rounds in the divine will, because in every act that we do, it's an I love you that we give to Jesus. And he's there waiting for us for this I love you. And he really delights every time we say I love you to Jesus, because he said to us, I love you all day long. With each breath that we take, it's an I love you from Jesus. And he wants an I love you from us. And all the creatures in the world, we all want love. We all want to give love to someone else, even though we don't realize it. Sometimes we do things that we don't really think, oh, I want to do this too because I want to say I love you. No, most of the time we probably don't even realize it, but we do things for other people. And it's because we love the other person. And the other person also receives the love. So it's around, like it's a continued thing. Creature is made to be loved and to love. And the same thing, Jesus wants to be to give love and to be loved. So we have to keep this in mind, and to love, to receive the love that Jesus gives us and to give it back to him.
Thank you, sister. Earlier that passage, it reminded me of the wheat and the thistle, and God keeps us together hoping that some of the thistle will become wheat, but knowing that there's going to be a risk also the other way around. And second, I love that doing nothing or looking like we're doing nothing. In fact, Jesus point blank tells Luisa, you are to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. And I think, Mother, I think that might be sort of like the opposite of what the Pharisees did. They looked like they were doing everything. They looked like they were the holiest people. And yet it was all intellectual, nothing permeated to the heart. So maybe God is just flipping that upside down, Sister Magdalene and Baliktad, backwards, upside down.
Baliktad,
Nicole.
Hello,
sister.
Sorry. I don't know if you were going to say something else.
I'm always saying something, so just stop me. Cut me off.
I don't really have much to say because I've been really busy that I didn't really think about what to say. But all of what the sisters and mother were saying about the acts and rounds, it goes back to the same thing, like desired. And also Jesus tells Luisa, like each act, it becomes like a son, like little sons that is his life. So it multiplies. And then we don't only become a priesthood, like to be able to co-create with him, but we also become that living host of like the deposit of all the divinity of God. And we are basically co-creating with him, but we are also being co-created again, like over and over again. And we as living hosts, we now that we are possessing by the grace of God all the divinity and all his life, I was reading in a volume, like the accidents of the host that are death, the host doesn't really give anything to God because he has no life. We now, with our movement and with our acts, we give life back, life to God. And it's like a perfect correspondence between God and the creature. So it's beautiful of how Mother also says, like getting to know more about the knowledges of the Book of Heaven. Reading the Book of Heaven is the only way that you can grow in this knowledge about God. Like, it's good to listen to people, of course. It's good to be involved in all these meetings, but you need to make a commitment of reading your Book of Heaven, because that's the only way that God can speak to you. And it's a personal relationship between you and Him. Like, whatever I understand, it might be different from what Mother understands, because it's a unique relationship. And we also have like different personalities and different ways of being. So God uses everything as how we were created personally to get us to the final destination, which is Him.
Sister, before you move on, I think that's a really important point that I'd like to just really quickly. All of us really are just cheerleaders. Yeah. Yeah, we need to resonate with whatever cheerleaders we find that we can listen to and we can absorb. And then, like you said, God and His Mother are the ones that are going to teach us. I think Mother said this many times. They're the ones that are going to take us full throttle into this gift. Nobody can do that. Yeah. But we can gain interest, we can gain desire from listening and watching the cheerleaders. So and the cheerleaders will be no more eventually. You know, it'll be like as Isaiah will, you know, step in the breach until we're taken out of the way. So it's only a matter of time.
I wanted to read from volume 16, October 30th, 1923. It's kind of a long passage, but I'm just going to read a little bit of it. And it's basically about how the soul who lives in the divine will is nourished by the flame of Jesus. So Jesus is the one who's always feeding the soul. And it says, "My daughter, why do you fear that I might leave you? In order to leave you, I should leave myself, which I cannot do. As much power as I have, I do not have the power to detach from myself. The same for one who does my will. Since he becomes inseparable from me, I lack the power to detach from him. Not only this, but I keep nourishing him with my own flames. Have you not seen that dove of all of fire? It was the image of your soul, and the one who was feeding it was feeding it with his burning breath was I, who delight so much in nourishing one who lives in my will with only the flames unleashed by my heart through my breath. Don't you know that one who lives in my will must be filtered through its most pure light? And to be filtered is more than to be put under a press, because even though the press smashes everything to pieces, it lets everything out, skin and seeds, which settle down at the bottom and leaves always something cloudy. On the other hand, when something is filtered, especially then, if it is filtered through the thick light of my will, there is no danger that it might deposit something cloudy. Rather, everything is clear, similar to the clearness of the light through which it has been filtered. And this is a great honor for the soul who lives in my will, that whether she thinks, speaks, loves, etc., my will takes on the commitment to filter whatever she does through its most pure light. And this is necessary so that in everything she does, there may be no distinction from what we do, but all things may hold hands and share their likeness." So we become like the flowers, like on the field. They are always open, and like the sunflowers, they are always looking towards where the rays of the suns are to receive the nourishment for growing. And all of creation really talks about what we are supposed to be, like how the flowers are always open to the sun and how they are always waiting for the sun to come up to receive the nourishment, the light, the heat for themselves. That's God telling us also to us that we need to be the same. We need to come back to the beginning in Him of being always open to His light. And it's painful. Yeah, it is painful because of original sin. We have all this pride in us, all this like why we are always asking why this, why that, why do you do this to me? When in reality, the why needs to be taken out. Like, you need to forget about the why and focus about what God is doing in your soul. And if you have that in mind, you're always going to be grateful for anything that comes your way. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, I'm not saying like every time I'm like, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. No, because we are fallen humans. But it's okay to, if you, I don't know, complain a little bit, it's like, okay, but then move on. Like, don't stay stuck into the feeling and don't punish yourself too much if you're not able to react quickly when you feel like upset or something, but just keep continuing on the journey. And remember, there was another passage that I love so much about how Jesus tells Luisa that even on the pains, even on the sufferings, remember that I love you so much, because original sin was that Adam and Eve forgot that God loved them and they forgot to love him back. So if we always have in our mind that he's loving us so much and that we need to give him that love back, then we won't forget what we are called to do and the purpose of us to be in living on earth, because living on earth is only like a passage. It's not permanent. And with this beautiful gift of the divine will, is a really, really a great opportunity to detach, how Mother was saying in the beginning, to detach us from everything, even from ourselves, because I think the most difficult thing is to get detached from ourselves, get detached from what we think and what we feel. And if we continue persevering on how Jesus is saying, like his light is gonna purify us, then we now get detached to him, which that's the best attachment that you can have, only to him. So have this in mind always, and don't get discouraged about, like, even now that the war is happening, like, it's a great opportunity also to do all these acts and rounds for all these people who are dying. Like, how many of them don't have any believing, like, not even in something not true, but they just are living like with no protection. So we know the divine will, and we know that we can go with God and multiply and pour out all the graces into these people, do it for, on behalf of everybody, and believe that is happening, and everybody's gonna be safe if they are disposed. So always have the desire of living in divine will, dispose yourself, open yourself to the graces of God, and keep reading the book of heaven to get more knowledges. And if you don't understand one reading in an instant, don't worry. Read it and read it and read it again. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you its light.
Amen. You know, poor Adam and Eve, they had nobody that went before them that failed. So they can say, oh, I'm not going to do that, or I stay away from that. But we can learn from them. And let's just take really simple. Adam took his gaze. Adam and Eve took their gaze off God. Remember, St. Peter took his gaze off Jesus and he sank. So when we take our gaze off God, something not very good happens. So we can learn from that. Right, Sister Elizabeth, what do you think?
That's always, you ask me the same question. I always respond, that's right, Peter.
You're just placating me, I know.
I wonder what would you think if I said no. I don't think so.
Well, I respect your opinion, but I'm really careful what I agree, to you.
No, but I do agree. Yeah. No, and I was just thinking what you were saying. Yeah, Adam and Eve. Like, and we also it happens to me very often, like you hear stories of someone and like, oh, how could they do that? You know, how could they do such a thing? But then like you find yourself falling into like the same weakness or even worse. So really it's like God is constantly putting us into situations to make us to purify us, to really learn, you know, that we are nothing, really to enter into nothingness. And it can be painful, but it's really amazing thing. I mean, maybe in the moment it doesn't seem amazing, but it's all like in seeing the final goal.
you know, even if it doesn't seem, even if, you know, doing acts and rounds, sometimes it may come this temptation of like doubts or something like that. And especially these doubts can arise because like it's all very interior and it's about a small thing. So I was just reading in this passage from volume 36 about doing acts, even if smallest things, like the tiniest like movements of the body, because it's easy to think like okay, like I have to do something big, you know, grandiose. But here in this passage, Jesus is saying how he also wants all the tiniest bodily acts. So volume 36, May 17, 1938, Jesus is telling to Luisa, "My daughter, everything came out of ourselves and was shaped by our creative hands, both the soul and the body. Both of them must be ours. In fact, we made the body as the organ, and each act done in the divine will was to form one key. It had to contain many notes and concerts of music, all different from one another. The soul, in union with the body, was supposed to be voice and song. By playing those keys, it was to create the most beautiful melodies. Now, an organ without a player is like a dead body. It's not fun, neither does it attract anyone. On the other hand, one who is good at music cannot exercise his art as a musician if he doesn't have an instrument to play. Therefore, a living someone who speaks and moves is needed to create beautiful music. But the instrument is necessary too, with its keys, notes, and so on. Both of them are necessary. And such are the soul and the body." So it is a beautiful comparison with the instrument and the soul and the body. "There's such harmony, order, and union that one cannot do without the other. So be attentive. I watch your steps, your words, the movements of your pupils, your tiniest acts, in order for my will to have its life, its place. We don't care whether the act is natural or spiritual, big or small." This is very amazing sentence. So it says, Jesus says, "We don't care whether the act is natural or spiritual, big or small." He doesn't care. I mean, it's kind of like, it's for him, he wants it all. "But we watch attentively to see whether all is ours, whether our will may arise, its sun of light, sanctity, and love." And this made me think, you know, I think we'll be very surprised once we get to heaven. I mean, hopefully all of us, yeah. And we'll think, okay, like, Jesus, were you pleased with this charitable work that I did? Or, you know, something that we really work hard and we will see that maybe some very insignificant act that we didn't even pay attention to was more pleasing to Jesus because the attention was completely pure, whether in something else, maybe it wasn't, you know, it was our will in that. And maybe in something else, it was like complete renouncement of our will and fusing our wills with his. And then he continues, "We use even the most insignificant act to make the most prodigious wonders, forming the most beautiful scenes to keep us all amused. Didn't we form the marvelous enchantment of the whole creation from nothing? Wasn't it from nothing that we created so many harmonies up to our very image in the creation of man? My daughter, if creation had to give us only what is spiritual, that would have been very little. Instead, by giving us also its natural acts, it can always give." So this passage reminded me also how Our Lady, like she was creating the seeds of love, of grace, of peace, of everything with the tiniest little acts done in the divine will in everything that she was doing. And also when she appears, I was just thinking that, you know, the children of Fatima and Saint Bernadette at Lourdes, and she, it seems like she's always appearing really to innocent little children, like the ones that are okay have like, you know, these children, they were still kind of like, okay, Bernadette was a teenager, but the Fatima children, they were like 8, 9, and 10, and they could understand, but they were so pure. And, you know, it had to be, the message is always grandiose, what God wants to give us, but it's always in a very simple way that even the children can understand, you know, and they understood that God wants from them to do everything, every little tiny act for love of him, you know, and in reparation to like the children of Fatima, what the angel taught this prayer, you know, my God, I love you, adore you. I believe for all of those who don't love you, don't adore you, don't believe, you know, they could understand that. It was like the preparation of the divine will, and look at the good that it brought, you know, even just a couple of apparitions of Our Lady to little children, you know, brought so much fruit that it's like explosion, you know, from this tiny little from the little children in tiny little village in Portugal. And that led to, you know, to consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. So God always chooses the ways of God are really not our ways. And something that to us seems really illogical and, I don't know, like, how's that possible? It's it really is like that. And only later we will realize it.
Well, he's got a wonderful sense of humor. He created us. You know, efficacy is very important. You mentioned about that. And efficacy, you know, God always gives us full grace. We're just not sometimes able to use much of it because of our filters and our barriers and our walls. Hello, Mother.
I guess we can go to the sisters in San Marino now.
Okay. I'm going to ask the sisters in San Marino to unmute themselves. And I'm going to bring that up at pin. And I'm going to remove the mother house for now.
Can you hear us?
I can. Hi, how are you? Sister Benedicta?
Good.
We are Sister Teresa?
We try to survive.
You try to survive? Yeah. Are you missing Sister Scholastica or the angle is not wide enough to see all three?
No, Scholastica, she's at home now.
She's at home.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in Georgia, right? Conyers, is it?
Georgia, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. Beautiful. Well, it's great seeing you. I really missed all of you. And it feels great to be back with you all.
You want to start? Do you want me to go first? Yeah. Okay, so I'm supposed to go first.
Okay.
So my meditation is on October 13th, 1926. And this is in volume 20. Jesus is talking to Luisa about the divine will and how it forms an eclipse over the human will. He says, my daughter, each act, prayer, and pain that the soul makes enter into the light of my will, becomes light and forms one more ray in the sun of the eternal volition. These rays form the most beautiful glory that the creature can give to the divine fiat, in such a way that seeing itself so glorified by its own light, it invests these rays with new knowledges that converting into voices manifest to the soul more surprises about my will. And this, it makes me think about what sister was saying, or what the sisters were saying about the knowledges. The more that we do our acts and realms, because it's he's saying each act, each prayer, each pain that we do in the divine will, it glorifies the Lord to the utmost. The best, he said, it's the greatest glory that you could give, to the most beautiful thing you can give the divine fiat. And then in that, it's like a ray of light. And then also it will give you new knowledges. So if you're reading it and you're putting this into practice, you're living it. When you read it, you will receive even more grace because you're actually doing something with it. And then he goes on. But do you know what these knowledges of mind form for the creature? They form the eclipse of the human will. The stronger the light is, the more the rays are, and the more strongly the human will remains dazzled and eclipsed by the light of my knowledges in such a way that it almost feels impotent to act. and it gives fuel to the action of the light of my will. The human will remains occupied within the action of my will, and it lacks the time, the space to make its own will act. It is like the human eye when it stares at the sun. The strength of the light invests the pupil, and lording over it, it renders it impotent to looking at other things. But in spite of this, the eye has not lost its vision. It is the strength of the light that has this power. It takes away any other object from one who looks at it, and always him, and allows him to look at nothing but light. Have you ever done that, where you look at the sun and then you're just, you know, to me, you know, he's so descriptive. I like when he gives these little examples, because, you know, if you think about it, when I think more and more about the divine will and doing acts and rounds and how much glory that gives to God and what goodness it does. I mean, that's what we were created to do. That's not the contrary of what what's naturally we were supposed to do. So eventually, the more we do it, I mean, that's really our nature, what we were created for. So it would, the more you do it, really the greater your mind, like everything, your imagination, your thoughts direct to the divine will. And then he says, I will never take free will away from the human will, a great gift given to man in creating him that makes creatures indistinguishable as to whether they want to be my true children or not. But rather, with the light of the knowledges about my will, I will form more than solar rays. And whoever wants to know them and look at them will be invested with this light in such a way that eclipsed the human will take delight and look in love and looking at this light, and will feel fortunate that the action of the light takes the place of its own. And it will lose love and delight for other things. This is why I'm saying so much about my will, to form the strong light, because the stronger it is, the greater is the eclipse it forms in order to occupy the human will. Look at the sky. It is an image of this. If you look at it at night, you see it studded with stars. But if you look at it during the day, the stars no longer exist for the human eye. However, they are still at their place in the sky, just as at nighttime. Who had this strength to make the stars disappear, though they are present in the full daylight? The sun, with the strength of its light, it eclipsed them, but did not destroy them. And this is so true that when the sun begins to set, so do they return to make themselves seen in the vault of the heavens. It seems that they are afraid of the light, and they hide to give feel to the action of the light of the sun. Because in their mute language, they know that the sun contains more effects of good for the earth. And it is right that they give feel to the great action of the sun. And so as homage to it, they let themselves be eclipsed by its light. But as the eclipse ends, so do they make themselves seen, present at their place. So it will be between the sun of the knowledges about the supreme fiat and the human wills that will let themselves be illuminated by these rays of light of my knowledges. These will bring the eclipse to the human wills that, in seeing the great good of the action of its light, will feel ashamed and afraid to act with the human will, and will give free feel to the action of the light of the divine will. Therefore, the more you pray and suffer in it, the more knowledges you draw to the manifest. To be manifested to you, and the stronger the light becomes, so as to be able to form the sweet eclipse of the human will. In this way, I will be able to establish the kingdom of the supreme fiat. And this is, you know, because the more acts that we do, the more the kingdom grows in us, the more we fill that void that was left in us because of the sin of Adam and Eve. So it's important to read it. It's important to, but not just read it, you know, you've got to, you know, really meditate on it, you know, pray about it, ask the Lord questions and wait and listen. You know, it's not a race to get to 36 volumes. It's just one phrase at a time, even, you know. So that was my meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Sister, would you please, many are asking, what is the passage again?
Oh, this was volume 20, October 13, 1926.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Hello, Sister Teresa.
I recognize Our Lady of Revelation on the top of your wall.
Yes, and she hasn't fallen yet. I'm really bad with a nail and hammer.
That's very nice.
Thank you. Yeah. I got pushed in the corner. Next, I'll be out in the driveway, but I'm okay.
Meditation is from volume 27, February 6, 1930. And I focus on the second part of the title is how its ways of the divine will of operating in the soul symbolize the creation and how it does little things first and then the great ones. I go around the second part, start to read. And Jesus said to Luisa, my daughter, my way of operating in your soul symbolizes the whole creation. Great work was the creation, but since our works are orderly, we contented ourselves with creating little things first. The heavens, the stars, the sun, the sea, the plants, and everything else that is little in comparison with the creation of man, who was to surpass everything and hold supremacy over everything. And when things must serve he who must master them and be their king, as great as they might be or appear, they are always little compared to him who they must serve. So if we focus on this part, we realize that we already know that all creation is very big, because if we only want to count everything he created for us, probably we cannot stop. So there is so variety that our mind cannot embrace everything. But we have to realize with this word how much important we are to his eyes, because he says in this big work, in this great variety, man is the king, is the master, and our creation, the creation of man, surpass everything. So there is and all this beauty for the creation of man, but also in some ways there is a mystery. And we can understand what is the mystery, continue to read it, because it's saying, so after the universe was created, and all things were at the place of order, waiting for him around whom, like an ordered army, they were to line up so as to serve him and obey his wishes. We created men. All created things and his very creator poured themselves over him to sing to him our eternal loves and say to him, we all have the mark of our creator and we pour it over you, so are his image. Heaven and earth made complete feast, and our very divinity celebrated with so much love the creation of man that at the mere memory of it, our love seeds so strongly that overflowing it forms immense around us. We know that the creation is an outpouring of love, an outpouring of divine light from the eternity, from the Trinity to the empty, because at the beginning there was nothing. So Jesus, God created all from nothing, all come from God. So in this way, we know that all the things are have a seed of love from God for us. If we look at the reality, we cannot understand this, because the reality, especially the reality of the newspaper and what happens in the world and the nature and all these things, can confuse ourselves, and we can try to fall in the error. This is not true, what is right in this book. And we can accept that this is true only by faith, and only by the knowledge of the knowledge, so reading, continue to read, and doing ups and rounds. Because if I have faith and if I enter with the realms in the activity of God, I can open the light that it's open, switch off, you switch on the light that's already is in my soul. I have to take confidence with my soul, and my soul is, it came from God. It's not something that appartiene a questa terra.
That pertains to this world.
This earth is to this world. Our soul came from God, but also our body, but especially our soul is the extreme part of ourself that is expression of God. So we have to enter in these acts and rounds. We have to take confidence with the activity of God, because there is a seed of love for in everything for us. And we have to understand that we are the king of the creation. Now, the kingdom of my divine will is greater than the work of creation. And therefore it can be said, it is the call of our divine being to operate more than creation itself. So everything I did in your soul at the beginning symbolized the creation, because I wanted you all to myself and all mine, so as to be free to do what I wanted. I wanted the void of everything in your soul to be able to lay my heaven. And the many saints on the virtues were stars that practiced by you in the way wanted by me. I use it in order to adore the heaven and extend it in you. So we are a new creation. In our soul, there is a new creation. In what way? Because if we accept to die to ourselves, we create the void. So the void is the space where the Holy Trinity, so the space where the divine will can enter. And little by little, starting by the simple virtues who symbolize the stars, create in ourselves the little lights. So stars are little lights, but the goal of God is to create the sun. The sun is the fount of the light. So we have to predispose ourselves not only to receive the little lights, but to cooperate with God with ups and downs to make God free to create in us the sun. So the sun is the fount of light. So we will be able to create lights, more lights together with God. But we have to accept, this is so great, that we cannot, also reading, we cannot pass from today to tomorrow. Tomorrow I will have the sun working in my soul. No, we have to accept first the little things. So we have to respect the order that God used for created, the first the creation after the second creation in our soul. In fact, he said, this is why it was necessary that the first I was to prepare you with many graces and teachings as little things compared to the great sun of my divine volition, that its many manifestations while making itself known formed its life in order to reign and form its first kingdom in the creature. Therefore, do not be surprised. This is the order of our wisdom and providence that does little things first and then the great, as cordage and decorum of the great things. So we have to be patient. We have to be faithful, that reading every day, reading with love, reading with faith, and reading and starting to put in practice all this knowledge. We can, at the same moment that we are speaking of that. So in this moment, some stars are switching on in us, and we have to believe. And today, tomorrow, and after, and after, and after, continuously, with the life of the sacraments that we have in church, we are to be focused on the soul, to participate, to say fiat. I want the soul I want the sun in my soul. I hope so.
I do too. You know, Sister, just really interrupt you for a moment. Both you and Sister Benedicta, you both hit a really important thing about, you know, when we take an approach to reading the volumes, which we have to do in order to do our acts and rounds, like Mother so eloquently reminds us, but we have to be able to digest it. And that's why St. Hannibal, I think, gives us great it gives us a great example and advice. He says, I'm going to paraphrase, that he reads only 2 to 3 passages a day, so that he may fully comprehend to the best of his ability what he's read so that God can work in him. And that's why sometimes I'm sorry, but I'm probably the only one that can't read the calendar, because if there's 12 readings one day and trying to juggle, I just can't do it. Or if I'm doing it, I read it. What did I read? I have nothing back in my mind. So I have to go really slow, sometimes one passage a day.
Like the creation that we told before, the creation is, there is so variety. In our soul is the same. With our mind, we can read. So with our mind, we acquire the knowledge. But we have to, at the same moment, read and put in action, because putting in action the knowledge, we extend it as our soul, and we take confidence of the power of God is in us. If we only read and we do the, for sure we do the ordinary things, we clean, we cook, we go to work, we do our spiritual life, but in a different way, working with God. At the same time, for every act, I have to extend my soul. So only in this way we can be able to understand other knowledge, because only with our mind, it's not enough.
That's very important, because again, Jesus tells us that our soul is the most elastic thing that there can be, because it was created to house God. But also, as we breach that and as God expands our soul, we must fill it. Because Jesus says those voids that we've just created, we have to give glory and honor to God. And all those voids that are left unfilled, so to speak, without or lacking giving glory and honor to God on the level due to God, they have to be filled either here or in purgatory. So, you know, when we open that paradigm, that expansion, we need to fill it. We need to complete the act. Acts and rounds, back to Mother again on that. Very good. I loved it. Anything else, sisters?
No. Hello.
Okay, Mother, we're going to pass it back to you. I'm going to bring the add the pin to you, and maybe you can close us out, or if anyone else has anything.
I was just reading a little passage here. It says, we have come to confirm you as our own, talking to Louisa.
I don't think you have the camera. There we go. Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We have come to confirm you as our own and to take possession of your heart. He's talking to Louisa. While this voice was saying this, I saw that the Most Holy Trinity descended into my heart and took possession of it. And there they formed their dwelling. Who can tell the change that occurred in me? I felt divinized. It was no longer I who lived, but they were living in me. It seemed to me that my body was like a residence, and that the living God was residing in me, because I could feel sensibly their real presence in my interior. I could hear their voice clearly coming from within my interior and resounding at the ears of my body. It happened precisely as when there are people speaking inside a room and their voices can be heard clearly and distinctly also outside. So if we don't, if we're going to live in the divine will, we have to realize the presence of the Trinity within our souls. We have to go into ourselves and pray to him there to realize the divine indwelling. So, you know, because you know that God is doing everything in and through you. So you have to realize his presence within. He'd come out of Louisa and show himself to her. And she was always consoled when she would see him. But he said, Louisa, I'm closer to you when I'm within you. She wanted to see him. We all like visions, you know, but God said, "What blessed are those who believe without seeing." So we have to have faith that he's within us, but to know too that because he's within us and we're within him, that we're in everything with God, because God is within us and everything is in God. All creation, redemption, sanctification, everything is in God. Now you think, how can all that fit in my soul? If God is in your soul, everything he created, everything he did, it's all there with you. That's why when you do an act in the divine will, you all of this is like molded. I mean, your act is molded and melted into all of this that God did. So you participate in all of that. And so we participate as he creates the grass, the flowers, the tree. You're with the God. He's everywhere. And living in the divine will, you're with him. Everywhere he is, you're with him. and God is everywhere. So it's just an immense thing that this gift is so fantastic, you know, to learn more about it, to read it, to just really let it penetrate in your soul is going to give you such immense joy and help you grow in great holiness. And the more you do that, the more you're going to die to yourself. It's so easy for people to just put the books on the shelf and forget about them. We have a half hour that we read Divine Will in the morning and a half hour we read it in the afternoon. If you have more time, we have 8 hours of prayer. So we have a strict monastic schedule. But if you have more time to read it than even an hour, I would suggest you do it. Daniel Shields said he used to read it 3 hours a day. That's how he got to be where he is now, really living totally in divine will is his life, you know. And so I suggest to you, treat it as much as you can. People say, I don't have time. Well, turn off the television. You don't need to find out what's going on in the world. If something comes your way, you're going to find out about it. You don't need to know. Just pray for everything that's happened in the world. You don't have to specifically know those things. But living in the divine will and reading the volumes, you're going to help the whole world much better than watching the news. You're going to be helping to heal the world in every way and save souls by living in his divine will. So the more you read it, the volumes, the more you can live it. So make time. You can make time. How much time we waste in the day doing other things we don't need to do. Figure out what you don't need to do and make time to read these volumes. Okay.
Amen. Mother, I'd like to end with something. I'd like to maybe draw a little bit of that
put a little bit louder.
Supplication, or not supplication, you know, in Article 66, where things, explication, where things can be explicated. Just today, in today's reading, reading number two, the example of the Church of Theologians. Yes. We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, how you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. And then I take that and I go to Matthew 24, 12, 14, when he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And of course, Jesus in many, I think four or five instances that I remember, but one that comes to the top of my head right now is volume 24, August 23rd, 1928. He says, quote, the truths about my fiat are the new gospel of the kingdom of my divine will, in which they, us, shall find the norms, the sun, S-U-N, the teachings on how to ennoble themselves, to elevate themselves to their origin. It's all here. It's all in the volumes. Thanks be to God. Mother, thank you. Thank you, sisters, for all of your input. It's so delightful. And we pray that your packing will go well. And I'm going to now.
This is our last time to be here on the program with the sisters here in Italy. So we'll see you in Tennessee, okay? But we'll be separated now. So you pray for us as we go on to move on to our country again, okay?
Amen. So I'm going to allow everyone now to unmute themselves if they'd like to and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless, sister. Bye. God bless, Mother. Have a good move, Mother.
Archangel Raphael, thank you with your travels.
Thank you.
Love you.
Hello, Anne.
Hello. Love y'all. Can't wait to get you here.
Yeah, okay. Pray for us.
Yep.
Enjoy the beach.
The waves are going to get me. Love y'all.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And in about 25 minutes, we'll have Father Cell so bring us live also. Mother, sisters, I don't envy the packing, but I can't wait to you in Tennessee. It'd be great.
You'll be very organized. Bye. Thank you. God bless.
Bye. Love you too.